We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Monica Lovell's back there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is Rick Spain. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing good.
And would you introduce your wife? Nobody introduced us.
Yeah. Oh, really? I thought you knew her. Okay. This
I'm Tina.
Hey, Tina. This
nice
Heather.
Nice to meet you, Heather.
Yeah.
I thought that was your name because he's talked about you, but I didn't want to be wrong either. So.
Yeah. So.
Some other lady you brought in here, huh?
Yeah. So I brought my chauffeur and my bodyguard with me today, and Heather's my chauffeur. My bodyguard has no. My bodyguard has deserted me. Yeah, he's my 11-year-old. Yeah.
He went bless, to play games.
Bless our hearts. Anyway, we're going to have a good program
today.
It's nice
to meet you, Heather.
Nice to meet you.
This is the first time I've got to meet you in person.
Do you want to talk on air?
All right.
If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get those uploaded to the website shortly after the program has ended. Stay tuned after the broadcast today for a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth broadcast. He's not in the building, but we'll reset the iPad and we'll come back with a word from Dwight. Our sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of July, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook page. Our book for July is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. I think that I've covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yep, man. Tina's got a radio voice, doesn't she? Wow. All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you and bless you. Thank you, Lord God, for your plans. Lord God, not only before we knew, but as we go and when we meet you again. Lord God, I thank you. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive, Lord God. I thank you for it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title.
The Plan.
The Plan.
The Plan. So I want to start out with, I don't have this all written down, folks, but you know what? Usually that's the best programs because that gives us room for the Holy Spirit. You know, and I brought my wife with me this morning, and I'm hoping she's going to have some things to say, you know. If not, it's all right. She's a great support. Great. Yeah. So, I think I want to start out in Ephesians chapter 1. And didn't bring my glasses, so I might be a little slow here. But in verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." And I want to skip on down to verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus when he called him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the plan, the Lord dropped this in me. And, folks, work is just super busy right now. And so, but, you know, when I knew when this, we had the big windstorm in Weatherford, did lots and lots of damage. And so we were already extremely busy before the windstorm. But then we have a lot of emergency calls. And so that tends to take precedence a lot of times. And so I'm going, you know, and I know what's about to hit us right in the beginning. And so I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, I need wisdom. I need direction. You know, I need your help in this. You know, one thing I prayed is, Lord, help me not to put the urgent in front of the important. That's so important. That's so vital for us. Because what happens is, you know, life pushes and life, you know, and then it pushes harder and you got pressure here, pressure there, and you're moved by the moment continually. And so what happens is as you're moving along, it's one of those things that I've said before, I'll say it again. If the devil can't stop you, he'll get behind you and push you. Mm-hmm. And you got to be cognizant of that. You got to be aware of it, because, you know, it seems like everything's going really good and old devil's patting you on the back and telling you how good you are. And what's happening is you're neglecting family, you're neglecting other responsibilities, and especially in relationship with God. And so that was my prayer. Lord, help me to recognize, help me not to get caught up in all this, you know. And so this is part of it, folks. You know, I could have called in and said, hey, you know, literally I'm starting, you know, I'm leaving the house at 6 and getting home at 8 or whatever, you know, and that's about every day. And so this is one of these times where you step back and say what's important. And this is important. It's important, this message that I have to give to you today. And I know the enemy wants me to be busy and not give it to you, but we got to recognize that God has a plan. I'm just going to get right. I'm going to jump. I'm going to dive in right here. So, and I'm sorry if you don't understand country English, because that's what I speak. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were created, and Eve was deceived, and Adam ate the fruit, and that's when man fell. And so when God's going and he's telling people, well, this is what's going to happen, you know, I told you, but now let me just tell you, this is what's going to happen. And so he goes through the Adam and Eve, and then he gets to the serpent, you know, and he's looking at the serpent while he's talking to Eve. And he said, Eve, your seed is going to bruise his head. The very beginning. You know, as you go through the Bible, you'll see Noah, Noah and the ark. And so when they finally got off the boat and God starts talking about the covenant. And what is the sign of the covenant? The rainbow. What is that significant of? That's significant of the promise of salvation. When the Israelites were in the desert and they sinned against God, and so then all these serpents are coming and they're killing people. And so God told Moses, I want you to get a pole and put a bronze serpent on top of it. What is that significant of? The cursed thing on the pole. Jesus and the cross. So as we go through, there's several analogies or direct prophetic words about the coming Messiah. You know, and I want us to see this, because this is going to be the foundation of what I want to talk about this morning. So God had a plan from the very beginning. It says in the scripture that even before the worlds were created, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I want you to think about that. Even before Adam and Eve came into existence, even before the earth was formed, the animals were created, everything about this world, even before it was created, that plan was already in existence. And you might say, well, you know, that's not really fair. I say that's more than fair. That is God saying, hey, I know you guys are going to mess up, but I want you to know I've got a plan. And that plan's for you and me and all those others, everyone in the whole world, because it says that Christ died for the ungodly. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he died for the whole world. But the good news is that's not the end of the plan. He was raised again. So, you know, I wrote something down, and this is what the Lord kind of turned my heart towards this morning. In Galatians 6:15, it says, it's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision that really matters. What really matters is the new creation. And so this is the plan, the new creation. You know, so we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Okay, so what, you know, we read that and we think, okay, when I accept Jesus, I become a new creation. Well, that is true. That is true, but that is only the beginning. Because in the Greek, they have a term that in the English language, it doesn't really translate. And that term or that tense, I should say. So we got past, present, future. And so in the Greek, they have a present future tense. And so what it means is it's always happening, always. It's not just now, but it's an always now thing. And so, see, that's hard to translate in English. But in that verse 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new. That word become is in that tense, that present future tense. And so if you were to translate it into English, it should really read, all things are becoming new. So it's a constant deal. And so new creation is not just when you receive Jesus. If that's if that's all there is to it, then you are not living the plan. You are not living in this plan I'm talking about. So let me read this. All right. Something I wrote about a week ago. We cannot create our own salvation. Only Christ provides salvation. To remember this truth rescues us from unfruitful works. Well, what does that mean? You know, so you read in the scriptures, and it has a lot of do's and don'ts. You know, and if you do this, then you're going to be all right. If you don't do it, well, then you are possibly in the judgment. You know, you're not going to make it to heaven. So it's clear in the scriptures that tells us if we live like a sinner, we're going to reap the consequences of a sinner. If we live like who God created us to be, then we're going to live the life that he predestined for us. But the key thought is, it's not our ability. If we could do it without Christ, we wouldn't need Christ. And so remember, it's not just an initial experience. It is a living experience. It's something every day. You know, it's like when I'm about to get extremely, extremely busy. What am I doing? I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, I know how I am. And once I get in this zone, Heather can vouch. When I get in that zone, you know, I'm impersonal. And sometimes it seems like I might be mad. I'm not really. I'm just in a zone. I'm just getting stuff done. You know, and you're encountering this problem, this, you know, just problems everywhere. And so I'm just knocking them down like a 11-year-old kid with a BB gun. I'm knocking them down. Pap, 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 pap. You know, and so I get in that zone, and then, you know, I lose track of him in my life. It's not intentional. I don't mean to do that. I want him in my life, you know, all the time. I want him to be evident, you know, but, you know, it's like what I said earlier. If the devil can't stop you, he gets behind you and pushes you. And then you start thinking, well, you're the one doing all this good stuff, you know. And so that's where the problem is. And so that's what I'm meaning is, when we remember salvation comes through Christ alone, it releases us from the unfruitful works. And so what's the purpose of our life while we're here on this earth is to bear fruit. And so we can read the scriptures and say, well, the Bible says I got to do this. I can do that. Not a problem. So we get out there and we start performing. And, you know, and then trouble hits and it challenges that very thing that you said, I got no problem with this. It challenges it. And then you start, then you might falter and you don't do what you said, I'm going to do this. And then you start, then you go into judgment, you know, and the devil's condemning you because, oh, the old devil, this is how he works. He says, you know, you can go ahead and do that. You know God's going to forgive you. He's a loving God. Don't even worry about it. And then you do it. You sin. You miss the mark. And then you know what he says? Well, you dirty, rotten, no good for nothing. God will never forgive you. You read the Bible. The Bible says if you do that, you're not going to heaven. And see, what that does is that produces unfruitful works. It's not our work. It's our agreement. That's all it is. It's his work. His work in us. So let's keep going. In every trial, it seems that we need to be reminded of this. thus I've already talked about. So we work to overcome the trial by our efforts, whereas Christ already won the victory. It's done. When he said it was finished on that cross, that meant everything. Everything's finished. And when you think that God has to add a little bit more here and there, you've misinterpreted it. Because this is the plan of God. This is his plan from first to last. And so in the new creation, we can rest in his victory. Oh, boy, that's a big one right there. Because sometimes it seems like living this Christian life is a bunch of work. We got to do this. We got to do that. Got to go to church. And you know what? We got to love people even if they don't, they're not nice to us. Yeah, forget that. I don't want to love them. God, send fire from heaven. it's not our work. It's his work. And when we talk about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts, it's not the love of Rick shed abroad. Because I'm going to tell you, Rick lacks in that. Can I get a witness this morning, sweetie?
I got a witness.
Huh? Amen.
Sometimes Rick's not loving. I want to be. But, Christ's love is shed abroad in my heart. And so when I encounter unlovely situations, that love of God just comes out. And that's him. It's his work. It's just my agreement. And so when we rest, let me read the last one. In the new creation, we can rest in his victory. When we rest, he is able to reveal another aspect of his victory. It's just something that I've said in here before, and Heather's familiar with it, is when we work, God rests. When we rest, God works. And that's important to understand. And so when we rely upon him, and we rest. I read this earlier to the girls. The thought goes like this. If God is not talking to you about what you're talking to him about, listen to him. Because we're so much on fixing this problem that we're facing right now. You know what God is more interested in? He's more interested in fixing problems you can't even see. And when he fixes a problem, it has a multiplying effect. It not only fixes what you are in right now, but it continues to fix problems. And so if you're getting upset with God because he's not talking to you about this problem you're facing, listen to what he has to say. Put that one on the back burner. It may be hurting you, but you know what? He's the one that does the work. We're just the ones in agreement. So when we rest, he's able to reveal another aspect of his victory. This is the new creation. This is what it is. That's it in a nutshell. It's a continually God showing what Jesus paid and applying it to our lives. Man, that's good news. That doesn't mean that we do nothing. I want you to understand that. What it does mean is that we can implement the new identity into this trial. Because when you think about new creation, you're thinking about a new identity. So Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so what Paul's saying is my new identity is in Christ. And this was the great revelation of Paul the Apostle, the in Christ revelation, what Jesus actually paid for. And so as we go into a situation, you know, and automatically our brain goes back to similar situations, and whether it was good or whether it was bad, we relive it in a millisecond. I mean, you make connections, and you're either going to think, man, I'm going to breeze through this, or, God, I'm going back to bed. You know, you know, forget this. I've done this before. You know, so, but as we recognize, well, hey, there is a promise in the scripture for this. Jesus paid for this. I, you know what? This may be a similar situation, but I no longer have to fight this battle myself. It's Him in me. So our God, which is Holy Spirit, reveals what Christ paid for, uncovered by the Holy Scriptures, by the Word of God. You know, and I want you to understand one thing real quick. If you feel like the Holy Spirit is leading you in a direction that is not in agreement with what the Word of God says, don't follow. It's not the Holy Spirit. Because what does Holy Spirit do? He magnifies Jesus. And what? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the living Word. You see, this book here, this Holy Word of God, is exactly what it is. In Hebrews, it says it's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This thing is alive. You know, and that's why, man, I look forward to getting up every morning reading the Scripture. You know, I've read it, I don't know how many, I couldn't tell you. Read the whole Bible several times, lots of different translations. You know, I've read through God's Word, you know, but every time I read it, it's brand new. It's brand new, and the Holy Spirit reveals something else to me. That's what He does. And so we can apply this to our efforts, and His work becomes reality in our lives. So I want to read that again. We can apply this to our efforts, and His work becomes reality in our lives. So, in essence, the work is, it's Christ's work, but it has to flow through us. We have to allow it. He does the work, we come into agreement. And it may seem like it's work to us. The only reason why is because it's an unfamiliar thing. And so as we grow in the knowledge of God and understanding of what Jesus paid for, what happens is we start developing this character, His character in us, and our lives are changed. We're working for this lady over in Weatherford, and bless her heart, you know, about half her roof blew off, and it's a big house, and just flooded that side of her house. I mean, in that wind, we got about 3 inches of rain. It was terrible. And so the adjuster went over and looked at it, and I went and looked at it, and we did the temporary stuff on the roof. And so I go in there in the house, and this, I don't know, days are just running together, honey. What, today's the 20th. This happened on the 9th, was it? Seems like 8th or 9th, I can't remember. You know, I went in the house, and I'm going up in the attic, and it's got the insulation on the ceiling. And so I pull back. It's still wet. You know, and I didn't realize she'd gotten that much damage. And so I poked a hole in the wall. That insulation's wet. You know, and so why am I talking about this? I don't remember why I got on this, but oh yeah. So anyway, that was extra. That wasn't even part of the lesson. I got on a rabbit trail there, but she said something. She said something to me. She says, "Rick, I trust you. I know you're a man of God. You'll do what you say. And she says, you are a good man. I said, Patty, I'm not a good man. You know, I was, you know, if you'd have known me when I was young, I was a hoodlum. You know, like I said before, I was one of the kids that parents would tell their kids, don't hang out with that one. I'm not exaggerating. I was dirty, rotten, no for good hoodlum. Jesus got a hold of me. He's the one that made me good. Now the world looks at Rick Spain, they think, well, he's a really good guy. He's a good Christian man. You know what? It's Jesus. Jesus did it. And he's still doing it. It's new creation. So, his work, Christ's work, revealed by the Holy Spirit, is God's plan from the beginning to the end. The next time you face a mountain in your life, remember you have a guide that reminds you of what Jesus paid for. Then the new creation becomes more than the initial salvation experience. It becomes what it's meant to be, a living experience. I know we got to take a break here sometime. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready.